decades of great music, Z103.com. Good Friday morning to you. Monty the Music Man, C. Burns, hanging out with you on the TCB Games AM Oldies program. Time now for the basics of economic development. Mark Wickersham joining us via phone this morning. Mark, good morning.
This week I've had the opportunity to attend the 2025 North American International Automotive Show in Detroit. You may have noticed last week that I was calling in remotely and recording, as well as this week's message and commentary. Thank you, Monty, for working all that out for us. And I've been able to attend this particular automotive show several times since 2016, and it's a fantastic event and a way to learn about industry production and details about investment trends, as well as simply to see the new product lines and exciting things for the coming model years. The automotive industry has been organizing this show in one form or another since 1907. It became the North American International Auto Show in 1989. It's typically hosted, again, in Detroit at what was historically known as Cobo Arena. And now that Cobo Arena has a new name, I really feel compelled and welcome to be here. The convention center is now called Huntington Place Convention Center. Huntington Bank, obviously, in their name, but it's just, you know, really, really fun to see the name Huntington in a venue like this and in a city like this. So, and I want to, you know, preface my comments, but it's like I'm by no means an expert in things automotive, but in the context of the basics of economic development in Huntington County in Indiana, the automotive industry is a huge part of our economy. Nearly 2,000 people work locally in the automotive manufacturing industry there. You know, Teijin employs roughly 800 people. Bendix has about 500 people. There are 450 people who live in Huntington County who work at General Motors Fort Wayne Assembly. There's a company out at River Fork East called Auto Truck Incorporated, and LKQ, Transwheel, and Transmetco, and others making aftermarket automotive parts and so forth. And so it's a huge part of our local economy. And in addition, automotive in Northeast Indiana has really been at the forefront with our Northeast Indiana companies for more than a century. I mean, we're literally the home of the nation's first SUV, the International Harvester Scout. And when we think about the heritage and history of nearby Auburn, Indiana, and Mr. E.L. Cord and the Auburn Cord Duesenberg automobiles, and there are other, Haynes Hillis heritage from North Central Indiana. Indiana is just has an incredible legacy in automotive. And in fact, even today, we're the number two state in the U.S. for automotive production. We produce 1.3 million trucks and cars each year, with a total manufacturing output of approximately $102 billion just in Indiana. The automotive manufacturing infrastructure in Northeast Indiana is literally it's unbeatable in competition with 21 Tier 1 suppliers offering diverse product lines. There are more than 28,000 people who live in Northeast Indiana and work in the Northeast Indiana auto industry. Total automotive production in Indiana Northeast Indiana tops $18 billion annually. And when you think about our state, GM, Honda, Toyota, Subaru, Stellantis, Rivian, all of those have facilities in Indiana, and I'm probably missing somebody. Now, the show itself is really an exciting menu and an exciting show. There are over 30 brands of vehicles with multiple OEMs, as they're called, original equipment manufacturers, participating there. I got to see all of them. Alfa Romeo, Aston Martin, Audi, BMW, Buick, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Chrysler, Dodge, Ferrari, Ford, GMC, Honda, Hyundai, Jaguar, Jeep, Kia, Lamborghini, Lincoln, Lotus, Maserati, Mazda, McLaren, Mercedes-Benz, Porsche, Ram, Rivian, Rolls-Royce, Toyota, and Volkswagen. Over the years, I've had the honor of attending several meetings at GM's world headquarters. And the very first time that I came to the show and went to a meeting at GM, I'll never forget entering the main entrance to GM at the thing. You walk in the door, the front lobby off of Jefferson Street in downtown Detroit. There was a Corvette on my left as I walked in, and a Chevy Silverado on the right, just inside the main entrance. And so it's like, wow. The two premier vehicles featured by General Motors at their corporate headquarters had local ties to Huntington. The Corvette body panels obviously are made in Huntington by Teijin, and of course the Silverado is assembled in Fort Wayne at GM Assembly. And as I said earlier, over 450 Huntington County residents work there. So nothing could have done a better job for me reinforcing that automotive is still at the heart of Hoosier activities and what we do in Huntington County. And over the years, the trips have also helped me better understand how the industry production forecasts actually relate to our unemployment, employment situation, as well as planned real estate investments, that kind of thing. And when you look over the years at the production of North American production of non-commercial vehicles, and you look at a spreadsheet, and it's like in 2006, the nation made 16 million cars and light trucks, but that number steadily dropped from 2007, 2008, down to 2009. It was 9 million. It was almost half of what it was in 2006, and when I was hired at HQ, 2008, 2009, those were the years that our community, we were faced with unemployment rates that were double digit, with over 3,500 people literally looking for work. 63% of our industrial space was vacant. The tax base was declining significantly, and so forth. Now, it's not that we can prove and show a direct cause and effect, but it's one of those trend lines that we have to keep an eye on. By 2016, the auto industry was at its height with 18 million cars produced and in the U.S. And as a result, but the local data from 2016 was really, really strong, with both job creation investment numbers, the employment numbers were really good, and we saw a lot of good activity. So 2016 was the peak in production in automotive, and then it dropped again during the COVID period, the pandemic dropped to 13 million, as did our overall economy. And then by 2024, the industry was back up at 15.9 million, and they're projected to be at 16.3 million this year. And again, while I can't show direct cause and effect, the trend line is very interesting to watch because it does seem to parallel the trends. The other thing that we watch, the industry stabilized, but then the UAW strike in 2023. Continued with some pressure on the system. I'll never forget in 2019 going to meetings at GM during the auto show that they made a couple comments that I thought were really interesting in 2019 that all our listeners and our local workforce are well aware of. The first was that at the 2019 show, the regional UAW chief complained that the new EV plants were non-union. And her point at the time was that union plants made the traditional drivetrain vehicles, which the company was no longer investing research and development funds in. And I'll come back to that point. But the companies had to increase the margin, the profit margins in those lines in order to subsidize their losses in the EV market. And the UAW made it clear that in 2019 that they were not happy that it was like their union members were subsidizing the production of EVs that were losing money and being made in non-union plants. So it really wasn't much of a surprise to me that there was a strike. I didn't know when it would be or what the terms would be or anything. But in 2019, there were some people that were pretty upset in Detroit. Also, at that 2019 show, GM made a comment that I mentioned a second ago about R&D funds. They said, traditional drivetrain vehicles are last generation final technologies. And made absolutely no investments that were substantive in 2020 through 2022, the COVID years. All of that's likely to change. We don't know exactly how, but the likelihood of President Trump ending the tax credit to purchase new EVs or some variation of that discussion is likely to take place this year. And the automotive community at the show this year, it's interesting that the vehicles that were on the floor, and this is going to impact how the economy functions, most of the vehicles on the floor of the show, from all manufacturers, from what I saw, the typical starting price for even an entry model vehicle from North American Auto Industries, Buick was a bit of an exception, but they're still, you're starting at $32,000 and going up. And the number of cars that are in the $32,000 range is very, very limited compared to cars that basically your starting cost are in the upper 40,000s. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out and how the market forces come to bear. But the last thing I want to share is that I think, the North American International Auto Show at Detroit is open to the general public, and I mean, it is just, if you're a car nut, it's a great event to attend, to see all the latest the auto industry has globally under one roof. And so, if you're interested in cars, I would encourage you to just Google the show's website to learn about tickets and schedules and so forth. And yeah, it's really helpful for me as an economic developer to pick up on industry trends and investment details and so forth, and to literally see vehicle after vehicle on the show floor in Detroit that I know have parts that were made in Huntington or in Northeast Indiana. So it's really cool. But again, it's been a privilege for me to be able to attend the Detroit North American International Automotive Show in Detroit. And I encourage anybody that's interested in cars to consider coming here sometime. With that, I'll close the show for this week and turn it back over to Monty for more music.